Well, hello and welcome. This is the Monday Night Supporters Club podcast. Should have gone out on Sunday night. I had one of my killer headaches, I'll be honest with you. It started Sunday morning. I've still got it now. So I'm just catching up on things. I did do my live show last night, but it was a struggle. Even things like lights were hurting my eyes. So it's been a struggle, but we're getting there. We are getting there. Hope you're well. Hope you've had a great weekend. I've got to say, despite the headache, it was actually a very productive weekend here in at the Veggie Grower Podcast HQ. We tackled quite a few of the tasks I wanted to get done, and we're getting more and more prepared for the big C, Christmas Day, of course. We've got lots of vegetables in the pipeline, leeks and parsnips and Brussels sprouts, all which are looking like they are going to be ready to eat on Christmas Day. So I'm feeling very, very happy with that. Hopefully you're in the same boat. I've certainly made a point of trying to include Christmas dinner vegetables in the seeds for the year. And hopefully you found that you have got plenty of Christmas dinner foods or homegrown foods ready for your Christmas dinner at the same time. It's certainly something I've been trying to achieve for years, and we tackled or achieved it many years ago. Every year, pretty much all our vegetables are homegrown, and I find that to be one of my favourite things about Christmas dinner when it is all homegrown. We've got Swedes this year, which is an unusual one because I normally struggle to be able to get Swedes, but this year they're not the best Swedes, but we've got some decent Swedes. Nonetheless, we have got turnips, we've got beetroots, we've got leeks, onions, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, pretty much everything you can imagine, parsnips and carrots and peas and sweet corn from the freezer as well. So I'm very, very, very happy with that. And next year, I'm hoping it's going to be even better. We really are going to be turning our garden into even more food production next year while maintaining a sort of areas for entertaining and things like that that we've been talking about a little bit more lately. Now, next 2025, next year, my plan is I'm going to be writing up a real sort of mission. I did that for last night's live show, but I didn't feel I quite gave it the dedication that I deserved. Basically, we're going to try and grow 8,000 pounds worth of food in 2025. 8,000 pounds worth sounds a lot, but I think it's fairly easy to do. The difficulty is things like salad leaf and herbs, where basically I used to allow a pound a week for that, but I think now, based on prices, we're looking near a £2 a week for that. So straight away, that's £104. So actually, that's not that much when you think about it, is it? Unless we go away, of course, and then we can't obviously harvest all that food. But of course, there's going to be carrots and peas and beans and squashes if we get a better year than 2024, which I'm sure it will be, because we have learned a lot in 2024. One of the things I've often said is that when we do things that everything goes well, we're successful, we don't really learn what we're doing wrong. We just get successful. One of the best ways I've always felt to learn is when we make failures. And that's certainly something that I believe 2024, we've learned a lot. We know what we need to do to make our soil better. We know what we need to do to improve our growing techniques with wet weather, or how to tackle slugs and snails a little bit better. So that's certainly something I'm taking with me as we go on into 2025. Now, added to that, I do want to say yesterday, I did sow the mint from our seed pack for the December. Now, mint is an interesting one. We've grown mint many, many times, and it is a staple. I've got lots of mint grown in various sinks in my garden. And I grow mint in sinks so that it doesn't spread. Mint can be quite invasive. Its roots can spread and it can pop up everywhere if you do not contain it, which is why I tend to grow mine in sinks. But growing it from seed is a bit of an interesting one. I've never done it before. It does need to be growing indoors. And all I've done is I've just sown the seed over the surface of some compost and left them on the surface. They need light to germinate. I've just pressed them down to make sure they're in good contact with the soil and then misted them gently with water. I'm reading this as I go as well. Now, I've kept them indoors in our heated propagators in order to try and get them to germinate. But of course, if you don't have a heated propagator, clear lid, plastic bag, mini greenhouse effect, over a radiator, anything like that, window seal will work well for that. And then within a couple of weeks, maybe a bit longer, they should germinate. Just be patient. It will take a while and they will be quite slow to germinate at the same time. Once they germinate, keep them in a bright location. Still keep them a little bit on the warm side, but you can start to cool them down a little bit more. And once they are up and growing fairly well, we can then hopefully prick them out, pot them up into bigger pots, but keep them growing. You can grow them quite happily in pots on the windowsill, and then eventually move them outside once the risk of frost has passed. Once you're outside, mint will come back year after year. As I said, I grow mine in sinks. It dies down in the winter, but it grows back year after year after year, which makes it all the more worthwhile. And, you know, it's one of those really fragrant type of mint, or really fragrant herbs, that just smells absolutely lovely when you walk past. It smells great in the garden, goes in so many dishes, and there's so many different types of mint that can be grown as well. This is just your standard garden variety mint, but there's spearmint, there's chocolate mint, orange mint, pineapple mint, all the different types of mints. What I find with the different flavoured mints, apart from spearmint or Moroccan mint, but the general other flavoured mints, the chocolate mints and what have you, they do have a bit of a chocolatey flavour when you first start growing them, but they do tend to lose their flavour after a couple of years of growing. So they're not the most long-lasting type of mint, type of flavour. They do lose their flavour after a couple of years, and you may, if you want to keep a chocolate mint, you may have to look at replacing them in a couple of years' time if they do lose their flavour. But I find a couple of years and the flavour has gone. Now again, mint is a bit of a sun-loving plant, so it does need quite a bit of sun, but it also does quite well with a bit of shade. It loves moisture in the soil, I found. Not waterlogged, just lots of moisture, but lots of sun at the same time. Have a lot of fun with it. Give it a go and let me know how you get on with them. Let me know if you're successful with growing mint from seed as well, because I said I've never done this before. I think I have, and it has been fairly successful, but it's been such a long time that I can't remember doing it. As always, we give it a try. Right, guys, I'm going to wrap this one up because I got the main podcast to do and get out. So got lots to hear from me today. Thanks so much for your support as always. And we'll be back again on Thursday night for more.